Welcome to our special edition of Agricultural Awareness and Safety In-Depth program on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network. We are speaking with ISU Extension field agronomist Megan Anderson and Dallas County Extension Director Jeff Jackson about agriculture education. Now, we want to focus today on farming education. So Megan, that's why we have here. You have your hands on a lot of different educational aspects when it comes to farming. So first of all, just take us through a little bit about what it is that you do.
So I'm, as an extension field agronomist for Iowa State, I cover a 9-county territory in central Iowa. And all across the state, we have field agronomists. There's 11 of us. And really, my job is focused on crop production, on our commodity crops, and then hay and alfalfa and pastures. And my position is taking the research and resources that we have on Iowa State University's campus and other land-grant institutions in the Midwest, and bringing it to the local area, bringing it to the county or the area, whatever that necessity may be, and making sure that I'm here to help farmers and anyone else who wants the information that we have to provide.
Okay, now let's get into a few of those specific things. You do a lot with farm experiments. That sounded like something interesting to me, that farmers would just reach out to the university and say, hey, I want to just try something. So that's something that you deal with quite a bit, correct?
Yeah. So in my position, I have sort of my hands in a lot of different things all at once. But one of the cool things is that we have a lot of research from Iowa State that our researchers on campus are doing. But sometimes that doesn't necessarily fit what somebody might want to do on their farm, or maybe they want to experiment with something that we don't have funding for on campus, but they just want to try it on their own. And so one of the most important things with these experiments is to set it up in a way where you can actually get data or information back that's going to be useful. So does it impact your yield, or does it impact crop growth, or whatever you happen to be looking at? Are you actually seeing a benefit from whatever that product may be, or whatever that management practice might be? So that's something that I can help with. And then we also have other resources at Iowa State that can help farmers to set up their own on-farm experiments. And then in some cases, we may even be able to help them collect data and actually get down to that nitty-gritty. Did it change your yield? Was it worth the money, I guess?
All right. Now, take us through some of the specific experiments that you've worked with farmers, because you think a lot about, you know, water quality and farm yield, that sort of thing. Is that sort of the typical things that you are trying out at these farms?
Yeah, most farmers are experimenting with products and trying to figure out whether something impacts their yield. So it may be a product that they purchase, like a fungicide or an insecticide. It could be maybe a cover crop, right? So did cover crop impact my yield positively or negatively? And they may put strips out on their farm in order to test that. Something that we're doing here in central Iowa this year that we're actually working with our research farms to put some experiments on farmers' fields is looking at sulfur fertilization. So historically, with acid rain and pollution, we've had quite a bit of sulfur that's been added to our soils, which is good for crop growth. However, we've cleaned up our environment quite a bit, and we have a lot less sulfur in our environment, which means in some cases we may actually be seeing deficiency in our crops, where we actually have to add that sulfur back in order to improve our corn yields. So we'll be experimenting with that a little bit this year and seeing what we come up with.
Now, when farmers do request to do these experiments on their farms, is that something that they have to pay for?
Nope, not at all. And sometimes we can even get them product in order to do that. But most of the time, we're just providing the resource of helping them set up the experiment for themselves and helping make sure that that data is collected correctly. And other than that, the farmer buys the product themselves and we come kind of free of charge.
All right. Now, some other things that Extension deals with quite a bit, you do plant and insect diagnostics on people's farms. What can you tell me about that and what it tells you to tell the farmers?
Yeah, so part of my position is that, you know, I put on meetings and we do a lot of that type of programming during the winter, or if there's some type of emergency during the growing season, we would put on like a hail meeting or something and be kind of boots on the ground helping people. But a lot of what I do is one-on-one work. So if somebody has a problem on their farm, say their crop doesn't look right, maybe it never came up out of the ground, or it's a different color than it's supposed to be, or just something is wrong, they can actually call me and I can come out and try and help them figure out what happened. And if we can't figure it out, we do have what's called the Plant and Insect Diagnostic Clinic, which is on our campus in Ames. and we can send plants in there, and they can actually look at things a lot closer than we can and look and see if there's a particular disease pathogen that's been a problem or something else that may be causing whatever is happening out in that field.
We'll be right back with more of our program on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network. Welcome back to our special edition of Agricultural Awareness and Safety In-Depth program. We are continuing our conversation with our guests, Megan Anderson and Jeff Jackson, about agriculture education.
All right. Now, sticking with that same kind of idea, you also deal with farmers quite a bit on pest management. So what sort of education do you give them, and what sort of help do you offer as well?
Yeah, so we do a lot of pest management work, some of which is during the winter that we'll put on meetings. We have our Crop Advantage series meetings, which are area-wide and are meant to provide education on a lot of different topics to farmers and provide pesticide recertification. So if they've got a private pesticide applicator's license, they can actually get their continuing education at those kinds of meetings, and then we put on the pesticide trainings themselves. Late in the winter and then throughout the growing season, I try to keep everybody updated on things that they may be seeing in the field in the future, or things that I have actually seen going on out in the field that they might want to take a look out for. So that often includes pest issues, right? Because those are the big things that come up often as surprises during the growing season. So there are some new pests that are actually coming into the state right now that we really want people to keep an eye out for, because they may not have been found in Dallas County or in the central Iowa area yet, but they're coming for us. So we want to be able to find them early so that we can hopefully figure out how best to manage them.
Okay, now I'm going to put you on the spot here. I'm sure you probably figured this, but what are some of these pests that aren't yet in the area, in the central Iowa area, that people should be mindful of?
Well, there's two corn diseases. One is coming kind of from the Colorado and Nebraska area. That's called bacterial leaf streak. So a lot of farmers have some experience, at least, with another bacterial pathogen called Goss's wilt. So that has sort of come and gone, and sometimes it's an issue and sometimes it's not. And bacterial leaf streak would be really similar to Goss's wilt in that there's not really any in-season control for this particular pathogen, but it's important to keep an eye out for, because it can look like other pathogens that we actually have in cornfields that we can treat. So worst case scenario would be somebody going out in a field and saying, oh, look, you have gray leaf spot. We can spray that with a fungicide and take care of it. And then they come back a couple weeks after it's treated and the fungicide didn't do anything. And that's because it was a bacteria. The other one would be tar spot. That one is a fungal pathogen. It has come from kind of Mexico, Central and South America, showed up sort of in the Midwest a few years ago, and it has rapidly spread and is coming into Iowa from the east. And then we have soybean gall midge, which is, you know, I'm a weeds person, so I like them because they don't move long distances unless we move them long distances. They don't poop. They don't bite generally. So insects are not, you know, not my favorite thing in the world to begin with, but the soybean gall midge is an especially bad one. So it's a little tiny fly that you can't see really with your naked eye, or you wouldn't be able to identify it with your naked eye. They lay eggs at the base of soybean plants. Those eggs hatch and larvae eat away at the interior of the soybean stem. And by the end of the season, you can just push soybean plants over. So that's coming in from sort of Nebraska, South Dakota, western Minnesota, and western Iowa. And so it may be reaching us here at some point in the future.
Okay. Is there any way that farmers in central Iowa can prepare themselves right now for this sort of stuff?
Unfortunately, right now, it's really just keeping an eye out for it. So there's definite, at least with the diseases, there's definite differences in hybrid susceptibility, but there's not a rating system that exists because they're so new. So they may be able to contact their company if they're really worried about it and say, hey, you know, are these hybrids going to do well against this pathogen? And they might have an idea, but they are really such new pathogens and the insect pest is so new that there's not a lot that we know as far as best management practices, but we really want people to let us know when they find them.
All right. So now one other thing that I wanted to ask you about here today is how well the extension offices are able to work together to keep this education system going with ISU Extension.
Yeah. So, you know, just like everybody else, we have a budget and sometimes that budget gets stretched kind of thin. So I cover 9 counties in central Iowa, which unfortunately means I can't be boots on the ground in every county every single day to know exactly what's going on. So what's really nice is that we do have an extension office in every single county. So we do have boots on the ground from the extension office's standpoint. So if farmers are having problems with something, or if they're concerned about something and they want Iowa State resources, or they're wondering if we have resources that might be able to help them, it's really nice that they can always contact their local extension office. And if they don't have that resource on hand, then they are able to contact me and we can make sure that whatever somebody needs, we're able to get it to them.
We'll be right back with more of our program on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network. Welcome back to our special edition of Agricultural Awareness and Safety In-Depth program. We are finishing up our conversation with our guests, Megan Anderson and Jeff Jackson.
Now I'd like to bring in Jeff Jackson here to talk about some things that aren't specifically related to crops and the agriculture side. More on the personal side, actually. We're talking off air about some training that Extension is offering regarding farmers' mental health, because that's become a real issue today, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, it doesn't take much to turn on the news right now and see all the devastation happening in western Iowa, throughout Nebraska. I even saw a video footage of one farmer in Nebraska who all their grain silos were completely tore open from the flooding and completely wiped out. That was most of last year's harvest they were sitting on, hoping for better rates. And now all of a sudden that harvest is wasted. And the odds that they're going to get anything planted this season is nil because of all the flooding. And so now it's two seasons in a row where there's no income. They're relying on crop insurance and other struggles. And most farms, rarely are there a lot of farms out there that really work on a huge profit margins. They're really working on a deficit and working just to stay ahead. And so it's one of those areas where we started hearing of higher suicide rates, higher depression rates amongst farmers. And so the beauty of Iowa State University covering so many areas that we do is our human sciences department, the specialists on the family unit and mental health, have turned around and partnered with our ag department and individuals like Megan and helped them in doing what's called mental health first aid. And so the training there is not really so that we're experts to be able to go out and treat these individuals. It's awareness. If Megan's out meeting with a farmer at that point and she starts to see some of those signs and symptoms of depression, or we've actually had reports where there were times where a farmer may say, well, I'll never have to worry about this next year. Those are red flags that start to pop up saying, we want to help this person. We don't want to just help them just because of their farm. We want to help them because of who they are. And so we're really out about the whole person, the whole farmer themselves. And so these trainings are to create awareness for our field specialists, our staff, those that may be out and about meeting with these farmers and ag coffees and other scenarios, and be able to start identifying some of those warning signals and signs to be able to help those individuals.
For sure. Now, Extension is perhaps most well known, at least in central Iowa, for some of the trainings that they offer for farmers specifically, In particular, like the pesticide manure application, stuff like that. So talk about some of the classes that you offer for farmers specifically through Extension.
Absolutely. So we partner with IDALS, the Iowa Department of Agriculture Land Stewardship, and we really work with them to, they're the certifying governing body, and we're kind of their middleman lackeys on the side, really supporting and helping. And so right now, usually in December, we really get busy with a lot of the commercial pesticide trainings and even throughout the spring. And so we offer trainings. Check out your local Extension office because each county has different times available for things of ornamental turf from our private pesticide, commercial pesticide, as you said, manure applicators. We're going to have these different trainings going on. Usually they're about a 2-hour class, very informative, even based on the subject matter you have. In most cases, if you're attending those classes, that means you don't have to take the test again every year. We actually had a farmer come in the other day and mention that he's like, well, I don't really want to have to take the test. Great. We have an option for you. It's take the class. And that way you only have to take the test every 3 years and you can maintain your certification. So every county, it varies on what the rate is, but we have those resources. We have those study guides. We have all those materials for you. And if we don't, we will order them and get them for you.
All right. Well, Jeff Jackson, I want to ask you one last question here. If someone's just getting started out in farming, how can Extension help them out with getting the resources and information that they need?
That's a beautiful question. We actually have a new beginning farmer program that's actually their headquarters is in Urbandale, and there's an individual there that will, a specialist that can help you get started. So contacting your local Extension office and we can get you connected to the New Beginning Farmer Center, and they can help you out with everything you need to know, get started equipment wise, specialist wise, and then get you connected to your local agronomist, horticulturalist, whatever you may need.
All right. Well, Jeff Jackson or Megan Anderson, anything else that either of you would like to mention about farming education and agriculture education?
Well, I don't know about farmer education, but I would just say that after a really long winter and a rough fall last year, I'm hopeful for a good growing season and a good opportunity for farmers to get out and get a lot of good work done here in the next few weeks. So I hope everybody has a happy, healthy, and safe and profitable, goodness, hopefully profitable growing season this year.
And that's a look at agriculture education with our guests, ISU Extension Field Agronomist Megan Anderson and Dallas County Extension Director Jeff Jackson, on the special edition of Agricultural Awareness and Safety In-Depth program on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.